We've been going through this series, studying the whole story arc of the gospel, of scripture. And as we've slowed down in the book of Luke, I don't want to go back and set any more context than this. Remember that Jesus began teaching about the kingdom of God, the sort of upside down nature of what that kingdom was. And Jesus taught that people were more important than rules, that the poor were more important than the rich, that the last would be first. And then he begins living that out in front of the disciples. We talked last week about the transfiguration and how that Jesus had a wonderful experience at the top of the mountain, as did Peter and John. And then they came down the mountain and faced the problems that were there of the demon-possessed boy. Following this up, Luke gives us two stories in this passage that Martha just read for us, really. Two completely different stories. Now, I'm going to spend a little bit more time on the Good Samaritan and that aspect of these two stories. But I wanted to take a moment and talk about the one that comes later, the story of Mary and Martha. It's very interesting to me, the language that's used. And we're not going to spend a lot of time, but I want to at least give you some food for thought on this particular paragraph. Jesus goes to their home, and Luke uses very descriptive language. He says, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, that is a very specific way to say she was learning from Jesus. Later on in Acts, Luke uses the same phrase when he talks about Paul. And Paul was learning from the great Gamaliel. And say that three times fast. And he was sitting at his feet. So Mary was learning to become a teacher and a preacher of the good news. So if any of you ever run across folks that say women shouldn't be in ministry, shouldn't be teaching over in positions of responsibility, which there are some people out there, this is a great passage for you to bring them to, because this particular one shows that Luke specifically wants us to know that Mary was in training to be a leader in the church. Anyway, that's just a commercial. We're going to talk about the Good Samaritan. And, well, it's International Women's Day on Wednesday, so that's your tidbit for that. The story of the Good Samaritan. Most of you have heard that story before. It's pretty famous. I mean, if you think about it, that word Samaritan has actually got a definition in English as someone who does good or stops to render aid or help. We have Good Samaritan laws on the books. But I want us to kind of think about the story a little differently today as we go through it. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about me. Some of you may not know this. I think I may have shared a little bit about this. But now, I grew up here in Texas, and we didn't play ice hockey. We didn't have, you know, ponds that froze over in the winter and we could go skate. However, once the Dallas Stars came to town, hockey became kind of a new sport for kids to get involved with. And my son wanted to play. So I said, sure. But then they didn't have any coaches. And so I'd coached baseball and soccer and other stuff. I figured, what the heck? It can't be that different, right? But so I got some books and I went to some classes and, you know, I actually got certified as a USA hockey coach. But there's actually just one really significant problem. I didn't know how to skate. So I'd put on my little windsuit and I'd look like a real official coach. I'd have my stick and my skates and my whistle, and I would step out onto the ice, hold onto the wall, and run a practice. As the kids progressed and got a little older, they began to make fun of me. So I took some skating lessons and actually learned how to skate, and eventually I played in a league for adults, and I am so grateful that video cameras were not on telephones at the time that I did this, because I would probably still be seeing my photo on, you know, funniest home videos or something. But anyway, I was able to coach the sport and really learn about the sport, learn the rules, learn what was supposed to happen, learn how things were going to do, but I really couldn't do it. I really couldn't get out on the ice. Today we have a story about a religious leader, a scholar who knows the law, and he's trying to trick Jesus. He's trying to get Jesus to say something heretical. And this guy knows the rules, the law, inside and out. He knows them. So when he asks Jesus a question, Jesus returns the favor and says, "Will you tell me, what do you read?" He asks, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, what do you read in the scriptures?" And he says, "Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." He says, "Good, that's it." Well, the man says, "Okay, I haven't tricked Jesus yet, so I want to keep trying. Get him to say something to incriminate himself." So he says to them, to Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" So in answer to his question, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And it has a few characters in it, right? So you start off and you've got the first person we see is the Samaritan. First person we see is the Jewish traveler who's walking down the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. Now, what you probably don't know, and what anyone in Jesus' original audience would have known, is that no one in their right mind would walk on that road alone. They wouldn't make that trip. It's a windy road up a mountain, and it was known to have robbers and villains on the street. So you would turn a corner, and then, you know, you'd get hit over the head, and somebody would take all your stuff. Well, this man chose to travel that road by himself anyway. So you have to think to yourself that maybe he was reckless. We might even say he brought this on himself by his own actions. But anyway, he's beaten up and left for dead. Then along comes the priest, and the priest comes along and walks on the other side of the road. He doesn't even want to get near him. Now, we can vilify him in our minds, and we can say, you know, gosh, that's horrible. Nobody would do that. But you think it through for just a minute. If he went over and touched the man, and the man was indeed dead, then the priest would be unclean. Presumably, he was going up that road to Jerusalem to take his turn working in the temple. And if he touched a man who ended up being dead, then he would be out of work because he had to stay, he would have to cleanse himself for 7 days. So he would have to wait. He would miss his turn to work in the temple. Next man that comes along, he says, the Levite. He's a temple assistant. The same thing would go for him, that he would not be able to, if he had touched a dead body, then he wouldn't be clean. He wouldn't be able to do his work. Then he would, but he at least walked over to him and got close enough to look at him. We have to think, maybe he was worried. Maybe he was worried that there would be robbers and it was a decoy. I remember there was a rash of these a few years ago where a woman would lie in the street and then someone would stop to help her and she'd jump up and stab them and take their money. And maybe he was thinking something like that was going to happen. So he got close enough, but he didn't help him. And then along comes the Samaritan. Some translations say the despised Samaritan, because we all know that the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. They didn't like each other. They didn't think very kindly of one another. Jews would often use the Samaritan as a derogatory name for other Jews. If maybe they didn't think they were living up to what they should be, they would call them a Samaritan. So it was a very slang. The name was used as slang quite a bit. But this Samaritan walks over, cares for the man, helps him, takes him back to the inn. And one of the things you realize about him, he was not only kind and compassionate, but obviously he had good business relations with the innkeeper, because the innkeeper trusted that he would pay him whatever was left. And he paid for this to happen, paid for the man to get taken care of. So this story we've all heard a lot. There are lots of different ways to look at it. We can look at it as a moral lesson for helping others. But I think in the context in which we have it today, that one of the important things about this story is we go back to the person asking the question. The person asking the question was a religious scholar, right? He knew these answers, and Jesus knew that he knew. So when he was asking, who is my neighbor, for him, the Jews were his neighbor, the people of Israel were his neighbor, but not those other people. And he wanted Jesus to say that God loved all of humanity. And Jesus did in the story say that. But what this man didn't want to do was actually get involved with other people. And that, I think, is what the story is about. It's about, you can know all the right rules, you can know all of the law, you can study Scripture, but there's a difference between knowing how the game is played and playing the game. And that's, I think, what this is about. In our confession today, we talked about asking God to free us from our fear and timidity, because most of us don't try new things because we're afraid. We're afraid of ridicule. We're afraid of failure. The temple assistant, the priest, they were afraid of what might happen, so they didn't get in the game. We cannot live a life of fear. We can't just say that our goal as Christians is to be the best scholars, to know this book inside and out. But we have to get in the game. Last week we talked about ways that we can do that as a congregation. And I challenge each of us during this time of Lent that look for ways that you can get involved, whatever that looks like. And it's different from all of us. But don't let your own fear keep you from doing it. Because whatever we believe, we know that there are a lot of hurting people out there. We all have different gifts and different talents to help them. But we want to be like that Samaritan and get in the game. What we don't want to do is know all the rules, but not play the game. Praise be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.